We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
No more mocks. This is the real deal. Want to talk about the draft? Call, text, or tweet us. Now, NFL Draft Central on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Presented by Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys, and brought to you by Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case.
Went there, it almost felt like it almost felt like I was at home or at the University of Houston. It felt like home. It felt like I was supposed to be there.
Ed Oliver. It's fate. See, we got the bobblehead. We got the box from the bobblehead.
Uh-huh.
Ed Oliver has been sitting on a shelf behind us, looking over my shoulder, staring at you.
All season.
The whole year.
Mm-hmm.
There's that Ed Oliver bobblehead box. He wore number 10 in college. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, can't do that here.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah.
Seriously, a defensive tackle wearing
10. A 10, huh?
Yeah. It was great.
He is the first-round pick of the Bills. Complete coverage, WGR550.com. And
yes. His resume, 2017 Outland Trophy winner, 2017 Consensus All-American, 2017 American Defensive Player of the Year. Must have been the conference.
American Athletic, yeah.
Yeah. 2016 American Athletic Rookie of the Year, All-American, Freshman All-American. First underclassman in the history of the Outland Trophy to win it. First underclassman defensive lineman to receive Consensus All-America honor since Jadeveon Clowney.
Hmm.
I'm reading from the box.
Nice.
Leads all active players with a career average of 1.56 tackles for loss per game, a number that would rank ninth in NCAA history among all players as heading into last year.
I think he had like 42 tackles for loss in 26 games over a couple years. I forget. I got to look it up.
Yeah. He's good.
He's a Bill.
And the story on the back of the box about his horse, we can ask him about this when we have him on next hour. There was a horse named Oreo who he was convinced tried to kill him.
Apparently he has gotten rid of Oreo.
Okay, well, tried to kill him.
Yeah, he was designated for release.
He says, swear to God, ask my dad. He'd been riding horses since he was 8. Oreo was by far his most stubborn steed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like me, Oliver said and laughed. We fought. Almost every time I rode him, we fought. You had to be aggressive with Oreo. Had to have a tight grip on the saddle, be strong enough to wrestle him in the right direction. But for how frustrating that horse was, Oliver believes he's part of the reason he turned into one of the best football players in the country by his sophomore season. Quote, I owe it to Oreo for making me the guy I am today.
He said, I was reading some of his comments about the horses, and there were a few things there. One, he said he thought working with horses and everything got him to get over any kind of fear. You know, because he said, here's the one horse he thinks was trying to kill him. It's a 1,000-pound animal. He said it helped him overcome fears, and it taught him patience. He likes being around the horses. It helps him unwind. And he said something about if you can deal with a 1,000-pound horse, you can handle a 300-pound offensive lineman. So we will talk with him, hopefully, in the 9 o'clock hour, so keep listening for that. Going to get your calls in a moment. Kyler Murray went first overall, the Oklahoma quarterback to Arizona. Josh Rosen is still on the Cardinals roster. There are stories. I was just reading a story from Albert Breer at SI that the Cardinals did try and trade Josh Rosen last night. And at times there, it looked like Washington was the front runner. Arizona was trying to get a first-round pick. Nobody wanted to do that. So he is still a member of the Arizona Cardinals this morning. In the division, the Jets took defensive tackle Quinnen Williams. Miami went DT, Christian Wilkins. And the Patriots closed out round one with a wide receiver, N'Keal Harry. Or N'Keal Harry. Sorry, I keep pronouncing that wrong. What else? Round two and three tonight. Coverage begins 7 o'clock, WGR. The Bills have the 8th pick overall in the second round and the 11th pick overall in the third round. Tyreek Hill barred from the Kansas City Chiefs workouts by the team. This is in regards to an audio tape, allegedly a conversation between he and his fiance about physical injuries to their son. And if you saw the quotes or you've listened to the 11-minute audio tape, awful, terrible stuff about alleged that Hill had abused the son, had injured him, had, you know, has that his son is terrified of him. Again, according to the audio from the fiance on this recording, the league is examining, investigating. Boston beat Columbus last night. St. Louis over Dallas. Ottawa reportedly will interview Jacques Martin. And, well, you're caught up. Let's get some calls. And then, you know, the other thing. 803-0550 to join us. Let's go to Paul. Thanks for holding on. Paul, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, guys. Love the pick. Just a couple things. My brother-in-law and I have been doing the draft for like 30 years for fun. He's a Dolphins fan. And one of the sources we always use is Walter Football. And you guys should take a little minute and go to that site. You know, they're doing the draft grades, 1 through 16. But one of the things that's brought up, and I don't know if this is actually the reason that Oliver fell, but apparently Gruden and Mayock, they might have had a problem with Josh Allen and Ed Oliver because they have the same...
Oh, the agent story, yeah.
Mayock.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that might be a reason why they bypassed him. And the grades, you know, everyone has a subjective view about the grades, but it's interesting they sort of criticize the Detroit Lions for taking Hockenson so early, obviously because he's a tight end, and they said the Bills won the draft. So just some positive things. The other thing that I thought was interesting, that a lot of the experts were comparing Ed Oliver to John Randall, the former...
Yeah, I think I saw maybe it was Daniel Jeremiah use that comp last night, I think, on NFL Network.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we just do it for fun, but I just found some of those points interesting.
Yeah.
Love the pick, and I'm hoping the Bills go for Akeem Butler the second round.
Yes, a wide receiver tonight in round two, I think I'd be very happy with that, and then I can address tight end in round three. No, the pick, you know, John Randall, a lot of people were... They try and compare him to Aaron Donald and then stop because it's so, you know, I mean, comparing somebody to Aaron Donald right now is probably crazy. But I think the pick is all about a guy who can, again, get pressure from the interior of the defensive line and be able to use, whether it's power, whether it's speed, Sal was on with us earlier, BGO, ball get off, term of the day, whether it's his quickness off the snap. Of the many things you can read about with Ed Oliver, one of the things that's out there is that he's really good at anticipating snap counts, and he's got that first step quickness. So I think all that stuff adds up to, you know, those are the reasons why they chose Ed Oliver. They really wanted to get a presence inside. Let me get another call in.
I just want to, one thing on player comparisons, they're always dangerous, no matter if you're saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, because when someone makes any player comparison, what they're doing is they're telling you they think that the player is good or not. And I remember this for Allen and Darnold and Baker Mayfield, right? Baker Mayfield, I don't know, he reminds me of a Johnny Manziel.
Right.
That just means you think he's going to be bad.
I think it comes like it's required homework from draft coverage. Like you always have to have, hey, you get a comp for each guy. Aaron Donald is one of the dominant players in the game. That's just probably, you know, you don't want to necessarily go there.
Right, it's a name that everybody knows. It just can be a bit of a trap. So, you know, you take it for what it's worth. If he draws comparisons because of his style of play to one of the best defensive tackles in the league, great. But, you know, expecting him to be Aaron Donald is...
Even John Randall. Randall was a hell of a player with the Minnesota Vikings. And he turns out to be that guy. Fantastic. Steve and Tonawanda, you're next up here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
So, the reason for my call is yesterday you were talking, it made me laugh because I didn't realize I wanted Hockenson real bad. And as soon as the Lions picked Hockenson, I was like, forget Hockenson. He's dead to me. Let's see who we get. And we got Ed Oliver. And I was just like, all right, he's our guy. I love this guy. And one of the things I want to talk about with him is I loved how the fact that he seemed to be the most excited to be picked. He was just on fire to get up. He was smiling all the way to the stage. Just seemed so happy to be a Bill. And that's exciting for me. Just someone who wants to be here, it seems like. And he seems like he's going to be a great player. And I'm real excited about that. And then the last thing I just wanted to say is last year in the draft, one of the coolest things happened with Pancho Villa selecting the pick, and that was really cool. And then I believe yesterday he was sent to go to hospice. So I just want to give a shout-out to him and let him know that thoughts and prayers are with him and hope everything's okay. I know what hospice is, and I know it's tough. So I just want to leave you guys with that, and thank you again for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks very much. And we send our thoughts to him as well. And
yeah, it was tough news yesterday when I saw it on Twitter in the afternoon. And, you know, obviously you think about, you know, his wife, his kids, and everything he's been battling through. And you brought up, you're right. You know, you listen. I listened in last night when McDermott and Bean came to the media room to talk, and I thought Sean McDermott started the press conference by talking about how they're praying for Pancho Villa, and made some really nice remarks and some classy. It was nice that the Bills took some time out before they started talking about Ed Oliver to talk about Pancho and his fight against cancer.
And the other thing you mentioned about TJ Hockenson, and we were joking around yesterday that heading into the first round, you're prepared to love, and who's it going to be? Mm-hmm. Hockenson goes 8 to the Lions, and I was pointing this out to you because you were big. You wanted Hockenson.
Yeah,
not to say you're mad about it.
No.
But today, how do you feel about Hockenson? Who cares?
Right. Well, I have no choice. What am I going to do?
Exactly. He plays for the Lions now.
Like, honestly,
I'll never see you. I'll watch you in the game before the Bills play on Thanksgiving.
Right.
And other than that,
what are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, why am I going to stress over it?
No. You might stress over, you know, to be honest, you stress.
I never really thought it was a realistic, that it was actually going to happen.
I would just say, I think you worry more about players you pass on.
Yeah.
For sure. Right? If you pass on player Haloti Ngata, we heard about Haloti Ngata for a decade because the Bills are on the clock. You're looking at it and saying, hey, how about that guy? Didn't take him.
Right.
You think about what might have been. They decide, is that the Aaron Maben year?
I might even worry more about, did you get the wrong defensive tackle? Christian Wilkins went after Ed Oliver.
Sure.
What if Wilkins turns out to be a Hall of Famer? I don't stress about
right,
it.
Right.
You know, but that's more the Hockenson. I wasn't angry. I know Hockenson was on the board at 8, but I never realistically thought they were going to take him. And quite honestly, as the board was falling, with Ed Oliver staying on the board, I was even more convinced they weren't going to take TJ Hockenson. There was no way I thought they would take a tight end over a guy like Oliver who could improve their interior pass rush. It just, for me, it would have been, I would have had to see Oliver go off the board at 5 or 6 or 7. If he was off the board and the Bills were, and Hockenson was still on, and it was either him or Wilkins or any of the offensive tackles, I might have gotten my hopes up at that point. I just never felt, even before Detroit picked, there's just no way they're going to do it. Oliver's on the board. It just didn't make sense for them to go get a tight end at that point and pass on a guy who can really be a disruptive force on their defense. Thanks for the calls. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550.
What?
Pick the Bill?
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Do I have to remind you? We can skip it.
No, you're picking the
Bills.
Why
don't we skip it and save it for Monday?
All right, we're going to have Howard pick the Bills, which is what we do. We are going to also do it Monday.
Can we talk about
a lot of other
snow showers on Sunday instead for a few minutes?
So here are the things that you've got to keep in mind, all right?
Okay, lay it on me.
Let me pull up the Bills schedule.
I'm not taking anything into account, by the way.
You've got to take everything into account.
Okay, who's okay? The Jets got a defense.
Yeah.
I got to do research. Daniel Jones isn't playing in week 2.
We'll go one at a time.
You want to go one at a time?
We'll go one at a time. Tell
ahead,
you
that's fine.
Who their opponents drafted and why it makes
a
difference.
N'Keal Harry. Oh, I forgot about
there
in
you
week
go.
4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just do it.
A tradition unlike any other.
Can't we do this tomorrow?
No.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills.
Something's going to be different.
Yeah.
Howard's going to pick the Bills.
Yeah.
And this is going to be different this
time.
All right.
With the 9th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, Houston.
Picking the Bills. It's just fun.
All about that process, right?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
See? You have fun doing this.
I lied. I don't know what that clip came from. You guys must have doctored some audio.
Bills with their new look defensive line. Kyle Williams out. Ed Oliver in. They open at the Jets. Well, looky, looky. Not a battle of the young quarterbacks. A battle of the young defensive tackles.
Is that how it's going to be?
Quinn and Williams.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Ed Oliver. Week 1. I'm ready to declare the draft winner based on this game alone. Whoever wins that game,
oh my goodness,
took the better defensive tackle.
You're just killing me. Does Quinnen Williams play with a chip on his shoulder because the Bills didn't trade up to 3 to get him?
Yeah, and Ed Oliver plays with a chip because he thinks he's the best defensive tackle in the draft, and Quinnen Williams went first. So, Bills at Jets.
Loss.
What? Was it a loss last time?
Yeah.
Loss.
The Jets are still, you know, they can absolutely still win that football game.
At the Giants, who are starting their 3-year plan to put Daniel Jones in as starter.
Daniel, I'm going to go with Elias playing in week 2, right? And who was the? And they took pass rusher, right? They took Dexter Lawrence on the defensive line.
Dave Gettleman said he could sit for 3 years.
He could.
Makes me want to get action on Daniel Jones. Never actually plays. I might want to get that action.
I got to find the actual quote for you.
Dave Gettleman will be fired in 2 years. And then the new GM will just say, I don't want this kid. Anyway, Bills at Giants.
He said, quote, maybe we're going to be the Green Bay model where Rodgers sat for 3 years. Who knows? You can never have too many good players at one position. I'll take the Bills to beat the
Bills
Eli Manning.
Over Giants. Week 3, Cincinnati. What do the Bengals do?
Factoring in Jonah Williams here? You want to are we factoring in Jonah Williams' impact on this game?
Their offensive line gets some pretty big help there in Cincinnati, protecting Andy Dalton.
I'm still going to pick the Bills. I'm going to say Jonah Williams doesn't swing this one in favor of the Bengals.
Okay.
Feel pretty good about that one.
Patriots, week 4. Bills are sitting at 2-1. Bills, home Patriots.
So Harry has, like, what, 10 catches for 250 yards in this game?
On which corner? Trey White's going to lock him up.
Or when they draft Greedy Williams tonight or Byron Murphy or Rakia Sin, he won't. Okay.
Ooh.
I like Rakia Sin just for his name.
He was good against UB.
And he actually, I didn't remember him from that game. He had a really good Senior Bowl week. They were really talking him up at the Senior Bowl as a guy who'd be a really good corner in this league. And I just like someone named Rock Yassin. I just think that's a cool name. What are we doing? Where are we? New England. Loss.
Loss to New England. 2-2. Bye week at Tennessee. What did the Titans do?
They took a defensive tackle. They took Jeffrey Simmons, who might not even be playing for that game. He's coming off a big injury.
Speaking of which, the Jeffrey Simmons pick was odd. Because immediately Trey Wingo took to the screen and explained a video.
His off-field incident, striking a woman?
Yeah, where he struck a woman because the woman was fighting with his mother and sister.
And something, how did he phrase it? Something was said to the woman that no one should say to another person. I forget how he phrased it. Something was said that was really bad.
One of these, it was very odd, is all that.
And it's
immediately after the pick, it's, listen, there's a video, here it is, we're going to show it, this is the story, yada, yada, yada.
I think NFL Network did the same thing. Like, they talked about how everybody at Mississippi State said they never had a problem. The kid is wonderful. All the teams we talked to, it's not a concern. They both went out of their way to say he's okay. Anyway, win.
Bills at Titans is a win. 3-2 heading to the bye. Loving life. Week 7 is home Miami.
Are you billing this as a battle of defensive tackles again?
Yeah, Christian Wilkins against Ed Oliver.
Okay. All right. The Bills beat Miami.
Win 4-2.
And Ed Oliver sacks Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, that's right. It's Fitz.
Yeah.
Oh, it might be Josh Rosen.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Week 8, Philadelphia here. What'd the Eagles do?
The Eagles did offensive lineman Andre Dillard. They took an offensive tackle, which does swing the game to the Eagles. So I'll take Philadelphia there because I'm just kidding. Give me a loss there, though.
Okay. Washington. Dwayne Haskins.
And then traded for Montez Sweat. Got an edge rusher.
Nice first round for Washington.
Yeah, you know, Haskins turns out great.
There was speculation they were going to have to move up for Dwayne Haskins, and they just sit and get him.
They supposedly were calling Arizona and really working on a deal for Rosen, and then they're watching the board going,
never mind.
We don't need to. We're not giving up a first-round pick for Rosen. Look, the guy is right there from Ohio State, so it worked out well for
him. I like Haskins as a product much better than Daniel Jones.
Well, I saw a lot more of, I didn't see any of Daniel Jones. Who am I kidding? I loved Haskins with Ohio State. I thought he was a really good, tremendous arm, very talented quarterback. Limited, he's kind of like a little bit of Mitchell Trubisky, not a big body of work, you know, in terms of how many starts he got at Ohio State. Give me a win. I think they'll beat Washington.
Win. At Cleveland.
They didn't have any first-round pick last night.
No, because they used it on Beckham, right?
Yeah, that's why the Giants had the other pick. So I think I'll just keep that a loss for now.
A loss.
You think the fact that they had no first-round pick swings the game into the Bills.
No, I don't. 5-4 at Miami.
Win.
Home Denver. Noah Fant.
Yeah, that would have been nice. You know, that's a nice pickup for Joe Flacco. He could use a guy like that. But I still think the Bills are the better football team. So I'll take a win.
Win. All right. At Dallas, Thanksgiving Day.
They had no pick, right?
No pick because of the Amari Cooper trade.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. Short work week, get on a plane. You're thinking about turkey, so I'll take Dallas.
Dallas gets the win.
I bet Ed Oliver has a few fans in the stands in Dallas that day. He's from Texas.
Home Baltimore. Ravens get a receiver.
Yeah, that's Marquise Brown, which is a really nice pick for them.
They'll be a fast team. I mean, Marquise Brown is... speed receiver that can make guys miss and score a lot.
But Ed Oliver will be chasing down Lamar Jackson and catching him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take the Bills.
Bills, home win over Baltimore. at the Steelers, who traded up 10 spots to take an inside linebacker.
Yeah.
And just extended Ben Roethlisberger's contract.
Steelers win.
Steelers win. At New England.
Mm-hmm.
And Kill Harry Part 2.
Moving on.
Okay, it's another loss. And home Jets.
I'll take a win there.
A win. 9-7.
Hey, man. At least I'm consistent.
You heard it here first. Howard Simon says Ed Oliver makes no difference.
Hey, they didn't get worse.
It's true. It's true. No difference. I'm going to tell him that when we have him on at 9:15.
Yeah, it's really going to crush him. Well, I'm more motivated now than ever. By golly. Thanks, man. Thanks for making me do that. Can't wait. Here now I got to watch Twitter. Great. All right. 803-0550 to join us.
But that would be a fun year, because even if they do go 9-7, you're picking them to lose two of their last three. So they're 8-5 with three to go, and we are riding high.
We're in the thick of things.
We're as invested as we've ever been.
Yeah, good.
In the last 17 years, because even the drought year, you needed help, and at 8-5, you're not talking about in the hunt. I don't think you're talking in the hunt. You are controlling your destiny with Pittsburgh, New England, and the Jets.
You're in good shape, I think.
So that'd be a fun year.
All right. So there you go. Let me grab a call in here before we hit our break. 803-0550 as we talk NFL draft this morning. Cole in Toronto, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Morning, guys. Great show. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks. All right.
You bet.
I know it's the Giants, and I know it's Gettleman. What do you think they're saying on the New York radio stations this morning?
They're probably ripping them, I assume. I mean, if I'm going by headlines in the New York papers, I'm guessing as he's getting crushed.
Did Haskins drop, or did they have an aneurysm?
Depending on who you talk to, I know, like, I was watching ESPN, and maybe Kuiper or Riddick, one of those guys, kept saying for weeks they love Daniel Jones. Gettleman is a big fan of Daniel Jones. They see a lot of Eli Manning in him. So that's the kid they wanted.
Oh, wow. And I guess Rosen? No chance there. Who would you rather have, Rosen or Jones?
I didn't see Jones play. I couldn't even give you an opinion on Daniel Jones. I liked Rosen.
I'm the same. I checked out on quarterbacks. I spent so much time watching them last year. This year was not really about watching too much. But the one thing about Jones is that they mentioned it's a little bit of the Josh Allen story. Zero star recruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like pointing out the fact that here's a guy that got drafted early in the first round who wasn't even supposed to be good in college, but he's got the raw tools. And, you know, I mean, Daniel Jones could do what Josh Allen just did. He'd have to play in order to do it. I'm not sure he's as mobile as Josh Allen, but Jones is the most recent comparison is Allen, right?
And
it's tools, it's prototype,
sure.
It's size.
I think they also liked the fact that he worked with Cutcliffe. They liked his development at Duke and the fact that he was coached by a guy who's known for, you know, helping quarterbacks out. So, again, I am assuming they're getting crushed. At the very least, either A, they picked the wrong quarterback, or B, why would you pick him at 6? But this, you know, this is the guy that a couple of people were saying for a month now. They really liked him for a number of reasons. Cole, thanks. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Bills fans, do you like Ed Oliver? The pick of Ed Oliver? You can let us know your thoughts on that last night. I'm sure many of you were very relaxed, relieved, thrilled when the Bills didn't trade up to get a defensive tackle and stayed where they were at 9. We can also talk about what you want from them in rounds 2 and 3 tonight. We'll do a little bit of that, by the way, coming up when we get back. Joe Marino is going to join us from the Draft Network, but you can join us too. 803-0550 on WGR.
All right, lift off. The clock is starting.
He's a piece. Again, he's going to have to come in and earn it. But we're anxious to get him in here and learn the defense, learn how we do things here, and then just take it one rep at a time. But I think as you saw, or some of the research y'all have done, he's an energetic young man with a bright smile, and I think he'll bring a lot of juice early on to us, a lot of good energy.
Sean McDermott on Ed Oliver. One of the funny things that happened on the coverage last night, they were showing bachelorette parties that were upset. They didn't know the draft was happening that week. So if you went to Nashville, which is the bachelorette and bachelor party capital of the United States,
okay,
then
you wouldn't know until you like showed up in town. And
I guess they didn't know
and
found Broadway shut down with people in Bucks jerseys.
So that where it is the big strip, I guess, where that whatever they were showing is where all the bars and restaurants are. I guess that would be like, why are all these people here? Is it just for my bachelorette party? Ed Oliver is a Bill. We were talking about it all morning with you, the defensive tackle from Houston. By the way, we have complete coverage of everything from draft last night, each hour of the draft coverage. So if you missed any of that stuff, it's all available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Kyler Murray went first overall, quarterback from Oklahoma to Arizona. Josh Rosen, the story is the Cardinals hit the phones last night right before the draft trying to trade Josh Rosen because they knew they were taking Kyler Murray.
Don't they lose leverage with every passing pick?
Well, yeah. Well, Washington took a quarterback. They were supposedly the leading
candidate
to trade.
The Giants took a quarterback, and
right.
They were mentioned.
So that leaves
the Dolphins,
Miami,
and the Patriots.
And the Chargers were mentioned, too, in the last few weeks as a team that was calling about Rosen. But they're trying to get a first-round pick. Who's giving that up? And so nobody wanted to give up the one. So they're still sitting with Josh Rosen. The Jets took a defensive tackle, Quinnen Williams, Minnesota. Miami took a defensive tackle, Christian Wilkins, and the Patriots got N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State. Rounds 2 and 3 tonight. Coverage on WGR beginning at 7. Nate Geary, Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio. Bills have the 8th pick in round 2, 11th pick in round 3. If you'd like a nice breakdown of who's still available at some key positions for the Bills, read what Sal has posted at WGR550.com. Bruins beat the Blue Jackets. St. Louis over Dallas. Ottawa reportedly is going to interview Jacques Martin for their head coaching job. The Spurs in Denver are going to Game 7. John Havlicek passed away at 79. Yanks lost to the Angels. Bisons lost to Syracuse. Those are your headlines. Our NHL playoff scoreboard was brought to you by Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys. And some Irv Smith love in my notifications for what people are looking for tonight. I'll tell you what, as much as I wanted Hawk, there are a lot of really good-looking wide receivers available on the board right now for the Bills. I think I will take a wide receiver at 40, and I still think they can get a good tight end in round 3. So that's my plan for tonight. Someone tweeted and said, you'll take an offensive tackle and a cornerback and be happy. No, I wouldn't. I'd much rather have guys tonight that catch the football from Josh Allen. So anyway.
They still have a bottom 10 receiver core, right?
Yeah, you still have to upgrade.
They still have a bottom 10 weapon core.
And they have big questions at tight end.
And they don't have anybody. I mean, I guess Zay Jones is growing, but who's the blue chip guy that
there
I'm getting?
Him.
Yeah, exactly.
Robert Foster did some nice things last year. But that's still a big what if. I mean, that's still a big projection. So that's why, yeah, there are some really good names on the board. On that note, let's bring in Joe Marino. He's going to help us out with this. The senior NFL draft analyst and host of Locked On Bills is with us on our Western Hotline. Joe, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Happy Friday. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. And I'm doing well. Hope you guys are as well.
So you're happy with the Bills pick of Ed Oliver, right?
Oh, yeah. It's impossible to not be happy with. I mean, I think I've identified that three technique is the biggest need on this football team, and for them to be able to land Ed Oliver, who I think was one of the best five prospects in this draft at number 9, not have to move up, I think that was just a really good opportunity for them to be patient and let the best player on the board slide down for them, and it really seemed to work out. Fills a big need.
Factoring him into the defense, Joe, what kind of an impact can he make in year one, and how what kind of role can he play in this defense?
Well, I think right off the bat, you get him in a penetration-style attacking role, put him in there at three technique, and tell him to kind of just penetrate the line of scrimmage and get in the backfield and cause disruption, and that's exactly what he can do. And, you know, a very explosive guy, gets off the ball really quick, and really, really outstanding flexibility and mobility for his size, and just to be able to create those problems for that interior offensive line. You're seeing interior penetration really being such an important part of fielding a top NFL defense, and Buffalo didn't have anything like this, especially with Kyle Williams being gone. And to me, put him in there at three technique and ask him to penetrate and cause that disruption.
Is the size and or arm length anything to be concerned about?
You know, what concerned me about that is that I didn't know that Brandon Bean was going to be okay with that, because we've seen him really kind of gravitate towards prototypes in terms of measurables. But, you know, I think with Ed Oliver, the explosive skill set that he has, it makes you more comfortable with a guy that's sub 290 and sub 32-inch arms, which is not ideal. That's not what the NFL is looking for necessarily. But what makes that, what you overlook that for two reasons. Number one, he plays with terrific leverage. Low man wins in football, and Ed Oliver's a guy that really keeps his pads low, and he's just hard for guys to get their hands on. And so you know, that helps overcome some of those size issues. But then he does have good functional play strength. You're not going to watch his film and see a lot of plays where he's moved off of his spot and he's going to be attacking downhill, penetrating gaps. You're not going to ask him to stack at the line of scrimmage and really hold his ground against, you know, guys that are going to be 20, 30 pounds more than him. So you use him to his skill set, and his skill set is something that the NFL has found very valuable lately.
I want to ask you in a second about, you know, guys that maybe the Bills could get tonight in rounds 2 and 3. But in round 1 last night, Joe, what are your thoughts on Cleveland Farrell? I mean, the Raiders, everybody was talking about the surprise pick. What are you doing with him, Joe? Is it less about whether you're wondering about his talent, more about where they took him, or do you think that was just a bad pick?
I think Cleveland Farrell's a good football player. I think the top five is incredibly rich. And, you know, when you're talking about top five pass rushers, you want guys with all that checks all the boxes. And Cleveland Farrell's very technically refined. He has heavy hands. He knows how to soften rush angles. Great against the run. I think he'll be a good pass rusher. I just don't think he has the type of ceiling for a top five pass rusher that you would expect to be used in that area of the draft. So a little bit of a surprise. Obviously, Oakland had their own theme with getting physical football players that are very accomplished. You can just really kind of tell with their three picks they made last night. But Cleveland Farrell, I just don't think there's the ceiling to warrant a top five pick.
What about Daniel Jones over Haskins and Locke for the Giants?
Well, you know, I'm not going to pound the table for Daniel Jones in the top 10. I think there's a lot of warts there with his game and a big acclimation period ahead for him. Obviously, the Giants identified him as their guy. He would not have been my top quarterback on the board. I certainly would have went with Haskins or Locke over Daniel Jones. But, you know, this is one of those times where the narrative's played out. All the reasons you thought that Gettleman would want him in terms of the David Cutcliffe connection and that he's, you know, trained the Manning boys and dual threat guy, big, you know, all those superficial boxes, but a player that needs a lot of work, and he was just a quarterback that was drafted in the top 10 last night.
Should I be stressing out over the Patriots getting Harry?
Well, you know, N'Keal Harry's a good football player. To me, I probably talked with you guys about what I feel about DK Metcalf. So on one hand, be happy that Tom Brady didn't get DK Metcalf. N'Keal Harry, I think, is a much more manageable opponent, and he's got a big jump ahead for him. N'Keal Harry played, you know, at Arizona State, three different offensive coordinators, was used three different ways. I don't think he plays anywhere near where he was tested at the combine. And I think he's very gradual, I think, as a route runner, and he's going to have to get a lot more urgency with how he gets into his route stems. But certainly there's a ceiling there that's very exciting, but I think there's growth. And for me, from my own personal take, he would not have been the top receiver that I would have taken at 32.
On Metcalf, the concerns about his route running, his lateral movement, he's a burner, but people kind of wonder if he can turn or if he can make any sort of finer movements. You're not concerned?
I'm not. You know, and that's the thing is, where's N'Keal Harry's three cone and short shuttle? You know, a lot of these bigger receivers, they didn't do those drills. DK Metcalf went out and did it. He competed, and his numbers weren't good. But here's what I go back to with DK Metcalf, and obviously those agility scores were not anywhere near what we're looking for. But here's receivers win different ways. You know, A.J. Green wins differently than Julian Edelman, and Julio Jones wins differently than Cole Beasley. And so when you talk about DK Metcalf, get him on a linear plane. Have him run goes and slants and crossing the face of corners and give him opportunities to catch the ball and uncover quickly. There's a certain way that you can use him, and he has a skill set at his size that is going to be a matchup problem at the next level. So you think about maybe there's certain teams that wouldn't be ideal for DK Metcalf, West Coast, timing-based stuff, not ideal. But in a vertical passing offense like the Bills employ, I think that he's the absolute perfect weapon for Josh Allen if that were to be the direction the Bills went at 40.
Well, you did. I was going to ask you, you know, who would be some of the prime candidates that you would love to see the Bills get at 40? Metcalf, obviously, would he be your top guy, and who else would be on that list?
Yeah, you know, I absolutely, DK Metcalf would be very high to the top, very near the top of the list. Juwan Taylor from Florida, I know there's concerns over a knee injury there, but you know, I thought he was a top 10 player in this year's class. He's my top offensive lineman. You look at these tight ends, you know, Irv Smith from Alabama still available. I know that he's been a popular name to link to the Bills, obviously, with Brian Daboll and the need that the Bills have at tight end for that long-term guy. So, you know, I expect the Bills at number 40 to go back to helping Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Ideally, that comes as a skill player at tight end, at wide receiver, maybe a outside chance at offensive line. But, you know, I think the Bills have done themselves well to set themselves up to go with that defensive player in the top 10. And I think it gets right back to improving things around Josh Allen on offense on day two.
If they hold off on the tight end until round three, Joe, who are some of the guys you think would be available there at 74, I believe, is their pick?
Jace Sternberger from Texas A&M really pops. He's very athletic. He had been 13 games this past year. 12 of them he had a reception of over 20 yards in the SEC, the only guy to do that. Really love his ability to stretch the seam and win on those outbreaking patterns. Just a really refined route runner and really a standout at Texas A&M. Cahal Waring from San Diego State is a tight end that I like a lot. He's got some room to grow. He's new to football. He only played 1 year of high school football. He walked on at San Diego State in 2015. He was a scholarship athlete by 2017. Love the natural athletic skill set there. Dax Raymond from Utah State. We've probably talked a lot before the draft about how deep the tight end draft is. And here's where you start to take advantage of that here on day two. Both the Iowa kids went last night. We expected that. Now there's 5, 6, 7 names here on day two that would make a lot of sense. And that's good because potentially that means the Bills can address that at 73.
Joe Marino is with the NFL NFL Draft Analyst for the Draft Network. Great site. You can check that out. He also hosts Locked On Bills, and he's a Mets fan. Joe, thanks for coming on with us, and enjoy the weekend of the draft.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Joe Marino on a Western Hotline.
Ready for me to give you a little factoid that your reaction is going to be, what? It's not draft related.
Okay.
Scott Pianowski tweeted this last night in the midst of all the draft stuff.
What?
For
too early.
The Islanders Hurricanes series.
Yeah.
Games 6 and 7 are on back-to-back days.
What? Why? Arena conflict? What? What?
I told you you'd say what?
There's a concert, so they can't. Yeah, but they'd be switching cities.
There is no day off between games 6 and 7.
What are you doing? That's got to. Okay, so they couldn't get into. That would be what? The Coliseum? Oh, no.
Barclays, right?
They're in Brooklyn for this round?
Yeah.
What the heck? The Nets aren't playing? Are there concerts or something going on in the building?
The Sabres in 05, 06, or 06, 07, one of those series had games on back-to-back days.
Sure, really? I do not recall that.
I don't remember which two. Would it have been the Ottawa series or games 3 and 4? But I want to say...
That seems rare.
It is not a normal thing.
I feel like Florida, Boston had a playoff series once where there were concert issues and they had to play back-to-back days. But I don't think it was a game 6, game 7. I think it might have been in the first 4 games of the series.
So game 7 on no rest for anybody.
So you play game 6, you get on a plane and fly from Raleigh to Brooklyn and play game 7 the next night is odd. Okay, now I need to find an answer. There's got to be concerts or something that they can't get into the... Even if you took 2 nights off and then played. I don't understand why that would be the case. 803-0550 to join us. Ed Oliver is a Bill. Hey, what do you think, Bills fans? Happy? I think most of you are happy. I don't think I've gotten one negative tweet about Ed Oliver, and all the calls have been pretty positive. So, yeah, it's a good pick. And now you can go offense tonight in rounds 2 and 3. What do you want to see him do tonight? You can share your opinions there. 803-0550 to join us. We are hoping to hear from Ed Oliver. Hopefully he'll be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. And don't forget, One Bills Live extended today. No instigators. It'll be 5 hours of One Bills Live with lots of draft coverage from 10 to 3 on WGR.
For the Toronto Maple Leafs. Usually, ironically, cap issues follow team success. This is all self-inflicted. They signed John Tavares. They overpaid William Nylander. They signed Austin Matthews. They've got to sign Mitch Marner. I don't think Mitch Marner's going to talk before July 1st, by the way. I don't think they're going to be able to sign him. But they're going to end up with 4 players making in the neighborhood of $40 million, roughly half the cap. They are going to have a real hard time putting a competitive roster together. They should have held the line on Nylander. Make him sit out if he wants. Then they got a chance to hold the line on Austin Matthews. Instead, they give him a ton of dough, and he walks in 5 years. Marner's going to ask for the same walkaway in 5 years. They are in a ton of trouble salary cap-wise, and they are vulnerable to an offer sheet.
Yo, I was just going to ask you that. Do you think there will be one?
I think, they'll if they do this in the right sequence, they can avoid a salary or an offer sheet issue if they do it in the right sequence. But they are vulnerable, and it might happen. Might be a player like Kapanen. It might not be Mitch Marner.
That's former NHL GM Brian Burke on the Leafs. Hold the line on Matthews?
Well, a couple things, if you'll allow me, because, well, some people, their favorite thing to talk about is the draft. Mine is offer sheets. The offer sheet wars are coming, my friend.
And Kyle Dubas...
Are you going to be ready?
Kyle Dubas said, "You." What was the quote yesterday? It's priority one to get Marner done before July 1st.
Uh-huh.
And here's Burke saying Marner's not even going to talk to them before July 1st. Beautiful!
What? Real
stupendous.
Quick. Real quick. Hey, Ed Oliver's coming up. He's great. By giving Austin Matthews the 5-year deal and allowing him to hit another huge contract in his prime,
mm-hmm.
opened the door to do that for Mitch Marner. And if the Leafs say, no, that's not what we want to do for you. We'd like to get you for 8. I like Austin's
deal. I'll take his deal.
I'll go 5. Right. And if they don't do it, guess who can do 5? Another team. Oh, man, the offer sheet wars should be heating up. Nylander is totally worth that contract. They should have just paid him and had him play the whole season. Their mistake was Marlow. That's your mistake. Marlow should never have happened.
Yeah. And that's eating up cap space.
And the idea that they're going to have trouble fielding a competitive roster. No, they're not. These GMs are so afraid of these big money contracts. These players are absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it.
The Nylander thing for me, I almost feel like you write off this season. The guy doesn't get signed. He misses camp. He misses the preseason. He ends up playing in, 50, 55 games. I know his numbers were down. You also pointed out that he wasn't on the number one power play. He lost ice time because of Tavares coming in. I just think Nylander, to me, don't freak out. I mean, I think this guy was a talented player for the first 2 years of his career, and then some things kind of came together this year that suppressed his numbers. Look, if they think he's an anchor, the contract's bad, and they have to get rid of him to sign Marner and Kapanen and these guys, okay, what do you want? Call Jason Bottrell. Call me. We need the trade phone song. Call him on his trade phone and make a deal for William Nylander. This Leafs offseason is going to be great.
It's going to be fun.
God, just fascinating.
The offer sheet wars are coming.
Hold the line on Matthews. Yikes! Guy's great. Hold the line on Matthews.
Right, he's making 11. He's worth 15.
Yeah, I mean, lock him in for the rest of his life if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah, they need more grit. 803-0550. Ed Oliver is a Bill. We're what?
Did you see Ian Rappaport's latest?
No.
He said that as negotiations continued centered around quarterback Josh Allen or Josh Rosen, he has unfollowed the Cardinals on Instagram.
Wow. Well, hey. That's what the millennials do. You're passive aggressive.
Like,
you know
entitled.
What? I'm not following you on Insta anymore.
He is. He's entitled. I saw it was, let me get this in real quick. It was Robert Klemko from SI. Who I have referred to Albert Breer and I was wrong. So Klemko has a piece up this morning. So, and he cites a source that's saying the Cardinals began shopping Rosen really hard just before 8 o'clock last night, right before the draft began. They were asking for a first round pick. Nobody wanted to give it up. So Rosen finds out from his agent that Murray's going to be the pick because the agent sees Murray in the green room taking a phone call while the Cardinals are on the clock. So they pick Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury calls Rosen a few minutes later to talk to him. Washington calls, Miami calls, the Giants call, the Washington Redskins were, I guess, the front runner in the trade talks for Rosen. Arizona was demanding a first round pick. Washington said no. They end up getting Haskins. The Giants, of course, end up getting Daniel Jones. So Arizona's sitting there with the option of either you keep Josh Rosen or you lower your price to trade Josh Rosen because you ran out of options last night. So I guess that's how it all came down in Arizona.
They've definitely overplayed their hand.
Yeah. I mean, they've got – I thought there was a report they had turned – right? Wasn't it a month or two ago there was a report they turned down a second-round pick? And all they were getting lately was third-round offers. Well, nothing's going up. No one's given up a one for Josh Rosen. So Arizona still has him on the roster, and you've got two fewer teams to deal with. 803-0550. Ed Oliver is a Bill, and we want to talk about it with you. And – what do you want the Bills to do tonight? You can grab a line and share. We hope to hear from Ed Oliver in this hour, so stay tuned for that coming up on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.